Emily Carr once said, "Real art is religion, a search for the beauty of God deep in all things." Living in the Bible Belt, we have a lot to say on the matter. Thank you for listening. I'm Erin.
I'm Brooke.
I'm Lizzie.
And we're going to go on a spiritual journey today. So first off, I want to introduce our very special guest. If you watch our YouTube channel, you've seen him. You've heard him. You've heard us talk about him in the studio, laying on the floor, sending us good vibes.
I try.
Thank you for joining us, Wazzy, otherwise known as Chris Wazkip.
You're very welcome.
Which is funny because, like, you're this, like, you're super into yoga and all this, like, gaining wisdom now, but your nickname has been Wazzy since birth, practically.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
It just works
That's
out.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about religion in the arts first. And everyone, just stick around. We're going to touch on a little bit of history first, but we have some really interesting stuff for the end of the episode, so be sure you stick around. It's an important thing because the fine arts, as we know them, are what they are because of religion.
Yeah. In the past, I mean, even today, but especially in the past, religion just ruled arts.
Yeah. So
any art form, it was based on some kind of religion.
Yeah. Like as far back as prehistory.
Yeah.
Cave paintings, everything.
Yeah.
It was either, you know, they're just telling their stories of their daily lives, or there was lots of cave paintings that were referring to some kind of deity, some kind of spirit. It was religious based.
Up until a certain point in time, there was just everything was religious. Anything artistic, any painting, anything, it was religious.
Especially in Christianity.
Yeah. But especially. I mean, as far as that goes, but don't you think that, like, lately now that that's kind of divorced, like, that relationship a little bit as far as, you know, new art that gets made and how it relates to religion.
Yeah,
definitely.
But I mean, historically,
the
ties, you know, the early ties of the fine arts was very much religious. Most of the masters.
That was just what they painted.
Yeah.
That was just the thing that they painted.
And I guess that was just kind of the lifestyle back then. Everything was religion. If you were not religious, you were damned.
But, you know, I think about that. You know, there had to be these strange people, or just anyone, just a unique individual. I mean, and it was like they felt like that was necessary. Like what they had to paint had to be religious.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody else did.
Yeah. And I'm sure that if anyone did anything too out of line back then, it was forgotten to time. Because no one would have celebrated it back then. What do you think, Wazkip?
Well, no, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. And I mean, you know, religion was probably, what's a good way to say it? So that's what the platform was. So like what you're saying, it's like, I mean, even if people did create other things, it wouldn't have gotten carried through time. It would not have been preserved. It would not have been seen as anything special.
Yeah. There's a lot to that. I mean, now we're in this age now to where social media, everyone has a voice.
Yes.
You can say anything.
That's a good and a bad thing.
Yeah. For real. There's a lot of people who probably regret a lot of things they posted in the early days of social media.
Yes.
In the art end of it, especially, I just find it incredibly interesting to see where we went from point A to point B, especially on the religious end of it.
I mean, it's hard looking at the historical perspective of religion because, I mean, it's so different because it's a different culture. I mean, it's not what we consider, well, I mean, religion and spirituality went hand in hand, but honestly, in today's time, I don't necessarily think that just because someone's religious doesn't necessarily mean that they're a very spiritual person. Does that make any sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
And I think a lot of, like, the art that was connected back then, I mean, it came from a spiritual place because people really felt that. It's like you're taking your emotional state and you're putting it on a canvas.
They did, and that's why it was so beautiful.
Yeah. And I just think a lot of that is lost a little bit.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
We're just oversaturated with so much.
Now, if you know, saying that, now you don't see a lot of religious people painting or creating any kind of art. It's kind of like, it's not what you do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, and the stuff that he is, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way because religious art is beautiful, but they do kind of fall into, you know, the same stuff.
Yes,
the people who are creating religious art. Mm-hmm. I guess they don't feel comfortable pushing the envelope.
They don't,
and I get that.
Yeah.
I do, but it's hard to make a name for yourself in the art world if you don't, you know, ruffle some feathers.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, today, everyone is, you know, that's the main thing is some kind of art form. It doesn't have to be painting or drawing. It can be anything, yoga, whatever.
And I'm sure a lot of artists look at the act of creation as a spiritual experience in itself.
It is, most of the time.
Well, no, that is true. I'm not really an artist in per se, but I have attempted to paint stuff, and one of the things that I always love to do is like take an emotion, especially doing digital stuff, because you know digital stuff you can erase it and redo it and whatever really fast, but it's like you take an emotion and you just like you put it through your hand and just let it create something.
Yeah.
So, and then you have that emotion saved in a picture that you can see.
Yeah, it's true. I love that about art, because that's how it is for me. I mean, it has to be that way for most artists. It has to be.
It's the most freeing experience that you can have if you are genuinely creating something because you genuinely want to do it. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of us feel real cramped up and not comfortable when we're doing commissions that aren't what we want to be doing at the time.
Unless we do them our own way.
Yeah. But historically, there have been some artists that have done very acceptable religious art, and some not so much. So today we've all picked the religious famous art of some kind.
Yes.
And we'll let our guest go first.
So I picked something a little off kilter. The thing that I picked was the Temple of Angkor Wat, which is, it's the largest religious complex in the world. It's in Cambodia. The temple itself covers 500 acres, and I forget the total number of temples, but on the cover of, on every single temple are these bas relief carvings dedicated to different gods. I think the original, it's a Buddhist temple now, but it's it was originally commissioned, I think, in the 12th century by the Khmer king at the time for the god Vishnu. But it, like, if you laid all the carvings and the artwork, like, in a line, it would reach over a half mile. And the reason that I thought that was so interesting and significant is just, it's like, spirituality and religion was such a big part of their life that they would take those kinds of resources to build something that large, that magnificent, that still stands today. I mean, it's still used as a Buddhist temple today. And, I mean, it just amazes me that that was so important in their life. But now, I mean, well, for example, like in a modern church, I mean, you don't see people building things like that.
You see no art.
That's very true.
I mean,
unless it's like just a mural, like one single mural. I've seen those in like baptisteries and stuff.
Crappy.
I mean, the closest thing that you would find in Western culture, especially the United States, I think, would be like cathedrals. And even those, they don't build those like they used to. Like in a large church, they're built like big box doors, just as big and as cheap as possible to get as many people in as possible.
Yeah.
And there's just...
That's true.
That's
and
how I think, everything is today.
I think, not to cut in here, but I do think that a lot of that has come because as time has progressed, we've become more individuals. People used to fully devote themselves to the religion. Their life was to serve and to create something. And in the same comparison, like ancient Egyptians.
Yeah.
I mean, they built these pyramids and all these intricate, beautiful things that are still standing.
Yeah.
With, like, no resources, hardly.
I don't mean to be preachy here.
That's okay. Preach, honey.
But I think a lot of it, I mean, it really just comes... It is a devotion. It is a type of devotion. It's just they had the devotion to their religion, to their God. In modern time, our devotion is money. It's idolatry of money.
It is.
I mean,
100%.
I mean, like magnificent...
Money or sex.
Yes. But like magnificent architecture exists and artwork exists, but it's in places where money exists, like luxury hotels. I mean, if you go to Dubai right now, I mean, it's... it's amazing, mm-hmm. like the architecture and the buildings, but it's because that's where money's at and that's where the super rich go.
Yeah.
So
that's a great point. What did you want to talk about?
Speaking
today?
Of, I picked something really cliche.
That's okay.
It's, I did that on purpose because, I know everyone will know this, The Last Judgment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
By Michelangelo.
That's
another, you know, saying you were talking about how people devote. It's amazing how they devote. He devoted.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Just an unreal amount of time to painting that.
The entire Sistine Chapel, yes. Really. But The Last Judgment was like
one little part of it.
And it was a darker
yes.
part of the entire thing.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's been censored.
Oh, it
from
has.
Its original
it
version.
Has. Somebody went over it and painted little things.
Covered every little, yeah. little penis and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, but that does amaze me. I picked it on purpose because it's really religious, obviously, and very spiritual. There had to be something spiritual for someone to lay there and paint that.
Yeah.
To take that much time and that much devotion of their life to paint all that.
Because the detail...
I can't even fathom that.
It is
just unreal.
Impressive.
It is. And it's beautiful. And the fact that they, you know, commissioned somebody to do that. And, this,
oh, yeah.
you know, this wonderful, amazing artist. I wish people would do that now. That's what you were kind of saying. They don't. They just don't do that.
No.
There's no interest in making anything beautiful.
Yeah, it's...
Or preserving any kind of art or anything. There's just no interest.
It always falls back to, like, what's going to be cost-effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all, it does all come together.
Which that does just show you how devoted people can be to religion.
Yeah.
Especially religion.
But, you know, people who are that dedicated now are kind of ostracized in ways, especially
they
in Christianity.
Are. Isn't that
not to get too, you know, too crazy on a topic, but it, I mean, it's true.
Yeah. But they're devoted that way in different ways now. It's not like they don't take that devotion and make it beautiful.
Yeah.
With
they don't
art
create with it so much.
Something. They don't use that feeling and emotion to kind of create something beautiful. They're just crazy. Frankly.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story.
I mean, you would say it too if you grew up in Sayersville. Come on.
Yeah. Any of our listeners who just so happen to not be from Sayersville, we are seriously right in the, we're like the buckle of the Bible Belt right here.
Yeah.
There is a, you can throw a rock and hit church.
Yep.
And it's.
Well, I can see like five right now.
Yeah. I really can.
No joke.
And you know, if you're not Baptist or Pentecostal around here, and a little, there's a little bit
Methodist.
Of, yeah, Methodist and Catholic.
One Catholic, one Methodist.
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, it's Baptist and it's Pentecostal.
And Pentecostal, yeah.
And if you're not that, you know, you're wrong.
Yeah. Which, I mean, everybody's got their thing and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But,
yeah,
you know, what I was saying is the devoted like that, the majorly devoted,
mm-hmm.
they are so judgmental now. And that's where they use their energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does not go into creation. It goes
yeah.
into being judgmental.
And that's really sad.
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking for all Christians. I'm not. But majority.
I mean, and it's just the nature of the beast. Because it's like in Western religions, it's more about what's right and wrong.
Yes.
And, you know, this is correct. This is not correct. In a lot of Eastern religion, well, like, for example, the Kumbh Mela. It's like a large spiritual festival. It's the largest mm-hmm. in the world. There's like 2 million people that come to it. It's in India. But there's Buddhists. There's Buddhists. There's people. The English umbrella term is Hindu, but there actually is, I think, from my understanding, there's no technical religion that's Hinduism. There's different sects. But all these people with different beliefs and thousands of different gods that they believe in, they all come to this one festival and everyone gets along because it's not about the religion for them as much as the spiritual experience for themselves.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
That's the important part.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing as long as whatever they're doing is working for them.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
Mm-hmm. It should be about your personal relationship with whoever, God, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Not about what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
That your relationship.
Because when it comes right down to it, you can only live for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to go with what you feel is right in your heart.
Yeah. Well, like with and I know we're going to talk about this later, but like, you know, I started doing a lot of yoga. Yoga really doesn't use a God. Like, there is no God. It's like, it's talking about you. It's
purely spiritual.
It's like you're almost worshiping yourself. You look within yourself and become one with that.
Yeah.
So.
Right. But not.
Isn't that kind of Buddhist, though? Isn't that what they do?
Well, historically, Buddha was kind of a yogi.
Yeah.
That's why it's almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to clarify, just for listeners, when he says, no, God, he's not, you know, sitting here saying he's an atheist or anything like that. I don't want to get any, like, a turf war going on. It's that's not what it's focused on.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's like, you know, they're not worshiping a God.
Yeah.
It's you're just focusing on yourself.
Yeah, connecting your own spirituality.
Yeah.
So, on the completely different end of the spectrum, I chose a piece called Hell to talk about today by Bosch.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually part of a series, but, and I don't know if you guys have even seen it, but I'm going to go, for the listeners, we'll post all our pieces. On the social media, so you guys will know. You have some visual aid for what we're talking about. So I'm going to show everybody this lovely painting so if you haven't watched it already, please go to our YouTube channel and watch YZ talk about my art and all the beautiful light, spiritual, and
your art is dark. Terrifying. It's terrifying. Every person you paint is dead. There are like skull faces in their dresses. I swear to God.
We done an acrylic pour in here once, and it looked like a big skull face.
Oh, yes. It's hanging on my wall. It scares them to death.
Yes.
She did not even mean to.
It just happened. It was so great.
Oh, what was that one festival that we went to? Paintsville? Was it the beer thing?
Pints on paint.
The painting that you chose to do your demonstration. What was it again? Oh, yeah. It was a skull lady, a skeletal lady with roses.
Wait, are you talking about Star City Day when I painted this big, enormous actual skeleton with roses and anarchy signs, and he couldn't look at it? It freaked him out.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, definitely go watch that video because it is really, really funny because his take on my work. I can put so much effort into trying to make something beautiful and light and airy, and I'll show it to Chris and he'll be like, this is terrifying.
Maybe
every time.
Maybe that means you should look inward to see what your beauty really is.
She is a dark person on the inside.
Yeah. It's so strange because like a lot of my art is very like soft and feminine, but
no, I can see that. It's a little creepy. It's dark.
It is. And I don't mean for it to be so. I think my perception's just warped.
It has a gothic feel to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I finally found the aesthetic that I identify with, and it's Southern Gothic.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah, that piece you did.
I can totally see that. And I mean, that's like all the women have no faces. That in and of itself is
if they
creepy.
Do, some of them do, like that lady.
Yeah, I have art here hanging in the art bar.
But a lot of your faces are real obscure.
Yeah.
You know.
It's usually for a statement.
Yeah. And the one that you pointed out that actually does have a face, she looks dead.
Yeah, she's definitely a zombie. Well, or on heroin.
She could be.
So she's either a zombie or on her way to becoming one.
Yeah, we'll have to post all these things we're talking about. Yeah. This one's actually called She's Hell, She's Fire and Ice. But that's fitting. Back to Bosch. I'm going to show you guys the lovely rendering of Hell that I've chosen to talk about today.
That looks right up your alley.
All it works here. But, I mean, it's very dark.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Tina's work.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, her and Tim, I think, are both really big Bosch fans anyway.
Really? That reminds me of her work a lot. I mean, it's different, but
it's so dark that you have to really focus on it to see
the details.
And I don't mean dark like, you know, scary. I mean like
dark,
actually dark. Yeah. Lots of black.
Yeah.
And a lot of Tina's work is like that. Is. Shout out to Tina Ousley. You're pretty awesome.
Oh, she's amazing.
And Tim is also. Tim Smith.
Yes. They're amazing artists.
They do awesome stuff. You can see some of their work in the Art in the Yard video that I'm going to... It'll be posted by the time this is posted on our YouTube channel. I keep plugging.
Right
Go now. Watch it. Subscribe now. But I don't know. I don't know why I always connect to the darker parts of religion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I obviously chose the freakiest religious painting to talk about. But Bosch was, he's done more than one depiction of hell, and they're all, like, iconic.
Yeah.
And these were done in, like, 1490. This particular one, I think, was, like, 1490-ish. After that, and even for back then, it's so dark, and it's,
I mean, when you think about hell, that's exactly what would come to your mind.
Yeah,
in my mind anyway.
And I like these depictions of hell
and dark,
you know. Yeah, rather than just the, you know, the typical fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, typical fire and, you know, people being speared and stuff like that. This to me is much a much scarier vision.
Well, my idea of hell would be in a chair with a box of Krispy Kreme donuts that you could never reach.
That would be hell. No, when they were hot.
Yes.
Could you imagine if every single one of us have our own individual personalized hell?
It's like a preacher.
Yeah. Could you imagine if that was reality? Yes. Would that really be
they
real?
They relive it over and over every single
day. Every
second.
Single day. Just
the memory.
Just out of reach that Krispy Kreme. Mm-hmm. Just can't have it. Well, I'm not going to describe what I think mine would be because Chris might have nightmares, but
I don't even know what mine would be.
Oh. Let's not dwell on it. Let's move on. But, you know, I said it before, we live in the Bible Belt. There's a church on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's probably, I mean, it's obviously shaped us as people, but I think it's shaped us as creative people living here.
It has to. There's no getting around it.
I'm very interested to hear Mozzie's take on this because his spiritual journey has been very different from ours. And, I mean, we'll lead into that. We'll start off talking about, you know, just the typical experience. Mm-hmm. I was raised Southern Baptist.
Yeah, I was too.
And that was how I came up and every, you know.
Well, we went to a Pentecostal church for a few years when I was little. And then we switched and started going to the Baptist church, Baptist church.
And I always sang in church, and I did a lot of religious art when I was young. And even to this day, I feel like even my graphic design, my strongest work is when I do stuff for, like, churches or like obituary type stuff. And I have a theme here, apparently. It's not intentional.
See, I never grew up really in a, you know, religious kind of background at all.
Yeah.
I did go with an aunt of mine to Pentecostal church for a little while, and it terrified me quite a bit because as a child you go into that not expecting that, and then everybody just gets up and starts dancing around the church.
Yeah, it's something that you need to be prepared for.
There's different levels of Pentecostal too.
I think this was primitive Pentecostal.
Okay.
So it was intense. And I just, it wasn't for me.
Yeah. So. Everybody's different. And I always feel uneasy in a Pentecostal church, and it's not anything.
I feel very uneasy.
It's nothing against. I love for everyone to worship the way they want to worship, but I'm just a nervous person in general.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do much for me.
Movement and people, it just makes me nervous. I can't.
Yeah, screaming, well, especially for a 7-year-old boy.
I never went to one as a child.
I feel like that's just too intense for a kid, especially a kid. It's too intense for a 30-year-old woman, so me. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a lot. It is. And I mean, anyone who loves that, good on you.
Yeah, that's
great.
Yeah, fine. It's, everybody's got their own thing, but
I was kind of wanting to go to one of those snake handling churches.
Yeah, like, they always get bit. They do. Like, some dude died a few years ago.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
She remember that old country song? It's like, praise the Lord and pass me a copperhead.
No, but that is hilarious.
Well, you know, in Indian spirituality, like the whole, you know, the idea with the swamis controlling the snakes, I mean, it connects the same thing as snake handling. And from what I understand, from what I've been told, like, the snakes pick up on your, like, calmness or anxiousness.
Vibe.
Like, and if you give off a good vibe, they won't bother you. You give off a bad vibe, they will bite the crap out of you.
That's
any animal.
What it is.
Any animal.
It's more just about the confidence, and the confidence equaling your faith.
Yeah. Because I actually just watched a video on this. It was a guru talking. It's like the snakes pick up, like any venomous snake, they pick up on your body chemistry. Yeah. And if it's out of whack, they will come for you.
They'll feel threatened by you. Yeah.
Dogs, they can pick up on that.
Well, a lot of animals can. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
It does. You just wouldn't think of a snake doing that. But, I mean, I guess it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I can, on the record, say I will never handle a snake. No one ever has to.
I don't want to handle it. I just want to watch.
About me doing that.
I do have this vision of Chris dressed in a full yogi attire handling snakes.
I can see him more like being the dude.
So the guru guy I follow, there was a story where he told, and apparently this happens a lot in India, like yogis who go really down deep in a meditative state, snakes get attracted to them. Like cobras will come up, like slither next to them and just curl up and lay next to them.
Oh, wow. God. That's really interesting.
That would scare the holy bejesus out of me.
Well, yeah. But they feel differently about animals and nature than we've been conditioned to run from poisonous snakes. Especially around here with copperheads and
everything else. Take a garden.
Yeah, and kill it.
Cut their head off.
And Chris is a very, do no harm kind of guy now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You wake up with a cobra and you're like, what you going to do?
And it's kind of rough because, I mean, the other day a wasper got into the house and I was trying to, like, shoo it out of the window.
That's a word we say, guys, wasper.
Oh, yeah, it's a wasp.
It's a wasper.
I think the largest majority.
Isn't that funny, wasper?
Yeah. I think the largest majority of our listeners are Kentucky. But just in case, you know what? Wasper.
Why do we say that?
I don't know. I have to look that one up.
Everybody here says that.
Yeah.
If you say wasp, you get made fun of. If you come around here and you say soda, you gonna get laughed out of town.
When someone says wasp to me, I think white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
True. That's a wasp.
I just think of like the comic book character.
Yeah, a wasp.
But Mozzie has a unique religious experience that I am. I mean, this is why we wanted you here.
Okay.
This week we want you to
guys. That is like the fifth time that I've done that.
Just flip the damn table, bro.
God. I'm just gonna turn into the Hulk and just flip it.
Well, and I mean, not so much religious. So I've been more spirituality.
Yeah.
So, not necessarily a yogi, but on my way there. This all started, like, I started reading books on meditation, et cetera, and one of the whole things is, like, you're supposed to find a master who teaches you all this stuff, and it's like, well, I'm never going to be able to afford to go to India, I'm never going to be able to, find or get these kind of resources, but lo and behold, I started following this one guy online, and he actually has a yoga center in Tennessee. It's about 5 hours from here. It's the Isha Yoga Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been going to that lately. I'm planning to go back here at the end of the year sometime, but it is, and it's quite interesting because it's like you have this in the middle of it's the Smoky Mountains essentially, but it's this big, like, yogi center. There's a temple there, et cetera, in the middle of Tennessee up in the Smoky Mountains. And, there's people from there all over the world. This last time that I went, I was probably the only person there within driving distance. Everyone else was from like New York, LA. There was just a guy who had flown there from Singapore. It's a very interesting experience. I felt very out of place.
I was getting ready to ask, your first time especially, how did it feel for you being there?
Well, I mean, I felt very out of place. I'm the only person, I'm obviously a much larger individual than everyone else there. So I literally felt like the elephant in the room.
Elephants are strong and beautiful.
Well, they might be, but
they can't do lotus position, but they're strong and beautiful.
I agree.
Elephants might be able to do a lotus position.
Well, this elephant can't. Like, the breast can't. But it's,
you can't do a lotus position.
Oh, Lord, no.
Really?
I would have to phase my fat through itself. I mean, it's all I can do. Like, so literally, like, they get, when you're there, they let you sit on, like, you can get as many cushions as you want. And if you need a backrest, they have these backrests.
Wow.
Well, everyone else there was like, I mean, there are a lot more. Most of the people there are actually Indian. They're either Indian American.
Really?
Or they come there from India. Because this is like a big, it's like a big thing. Because the guy who runs, the guru's name is Sadhguru. I can't remember his actual Indian name, and even if I could remember it, I really couldn't pronounce it.
Yeah.
But he goes by Sadhguru. He has, there's like centers all over India, and he decided to put this one in the United States, and he actually is coming there in October, and I tried to get into that class, but there were like 3,000 applicants to get into it.
So, that's intense.
Yeah, and people come there from all over the world. Like, it was very remarkable. And I'm the only person there with the country slang.
Yeah. So was there like a huge like language barrier for you, or?
I mean, everyone there speaks English, and I mean,
as Gary said, they probably speak English.
Yeah, because from my understanding, most Indian people speak English. Mm-hmm. My problem is, from my years of listening to really loud techno music, I have a lot of hearing loss, so I usually have to actually understand people. I have to see their mouth moves. Well, Indian people, even though they speak English, they don't make syllables the same way. Like sitting and watching their mouth
with really, those creepy eyes that you just made at me.
Yes. So, and I mean, it's a big disconnect because it's like, I kind of shy away from conversations with people because it's like, it was really hard for me to understand them. So, but yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing is like the first time I went, they were teaching us some of the positions. And I said this earlier, me being a larger person, getting a downward dog position, I ended up like motorboating myself. So, and it's very suffocating because you're trying to like hold the position.
I was gonna say, was it enjoyable at least?
but it is intense. And I mean, like the first one I went to there, it wasn't so bad. This last one, I thought I was gonna die. Like, I was like the last day, I was just like, I need this to be over with. I want to go home so bad. And I think the next one I go to is 4 days in silence. So,
oh my god,
and you're not allowed to have a cell phone at all.
Even though you felt like out of place, do you think you took away something spiritually from it?
Oh no, I think I did. I mean, and they even, I mean, it's different strokes for different folks. I mean, different type of,
yeah.
Because it's like, I guess, I mean, it's a cultural difference. And that's probably one of the biggest things with yoga. I think a lot of people in the United States don't really get it. They either think it's something it's not.
Think it's exercise.
Yeah. Because, I mean, so that part, like the positions and stuff like that, all that is for is you're prepping your body to meditate, mm-hmm. to connect with the subtler parts of yourself. But it's like, it's either they think it's something it's not, or there's such a cultural barrier because it's like, you know, someone who's Christian who thinks, well, I can't go do all this because that's Hinduism.
Yeah, they might think it's against their own religion.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. That's true, though. Yeah.
So, and I think that, and I mean, like, people miss out, I think, because it doesn't, I mean, you can do, so like I was talking about earlier, it's like there's not really a God specifically, but people use gods.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could easily, like, when you're doing a devotional practice, it's all about creating an inner dimension within yourself, like an inner emotional state. I mean, you could easily use, you know, Jesus or any of that, but still do practices and et cetera.
It's something beautiful about how, what's the word?
Positive?
No. Don't cuss on the Christian episode. like versatile.
Yeah.
Inclusive.
It is. Yeah, I just want to say it's beautiful how positive it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really positive. There's no negative to me. I mean, is there a negative?
No. I mean, Not that I know of.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, with some of the yogi practices, like, I mean, you're using your body and you're messing with your energy. So, I mean, if you do stuff wrong, you'll jack yourself up.
Yeah.
But as far as like,
that's how you learn.
Yeah, that's how you.
You do something wrong, you learn.
But I mean, and it's not only like that retreat. Like, I only actually went, and I mean, I'm sure not a lot of people know this. In Powell County, actually, there is a big Buddhist temple, Furnace Mountain Zen Temple, and I actually went there. That really wasn't for me. Zen is not my thing, because just walking around in silence and trying to meditate all day, I got a little anxious. I was like, I need something. Which I think that's probably why I latched on to doing yoga so much, is because like all that stuff that leads up to meditating, it burns out all that extra stuff. So
you've talked about your path, how you found your path. How, now that you are established in what you're doing, how is it for you living here, being surrounded by the, you know, just the typical Southern religion culture?
I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've always felt like an outsider anyway. I've always kind
of. We're a creative soul. We all feel that way.
Well, and I mean.
You're an eccentric.
Yes, I'm very eccentric. That's a very good word.
Yeah.
And I mean, people around West Liberty have just, because I actually live in West Liberty, Kentucky.
He's a transplant.
I'm transplant. I'm from Sayersville, though. But they know what I do, know who I am now. They just kind of expect it. Like, they see me just sitting in the park, meditating under the gazebo or something. Or at work, even. Like, at lunchtime, I do it. You know, close my door, do whatever, meditate. You know, people know that. But at a certain point, they, you know, because I'm so involved in it, they become to respect.
That's what I was going to say. There's people here, they can be very judgmental. There's a lot of really, and I hate to say this because there's a lot of smart people here, but there's a lot of uneducated people here.
Yeah.
Just kind of ignorant, not stupid, just ignorant to things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a difference in being ignorant.
Because of their religion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they were never taught. It's not because they don't know. They just don't know.
Yeah. And there's a lot of fear.
There's a lot of fear. And it drives them. It drives them. But I know lots of people here who, you know, if you, no matter what it is you're doing, if you do it with everything you got here, they respect that. They do. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that. Like, if you really put your all into it, they're like, wow, that person really made it. Or they're, you know, they're great or whatever. No matter what they're doing or what their personal choices are in, you know, in terms of religion or whatever. They respect those people.
Yeah, they will talk about you different. They'll be like, well, no, I might not agree with them.
But I really like him.
Yeah, I like him or
you
I respect
know, that's
him.
That's how they'll be. You know, it's interesting to me. It's the psychology behind that. But
yeah, because, I mean, in my office, you know, I have people coming in all the time. But in my own personal office, I mean, it literally looks like a Buddhist temple. There's like Buddhist, there's singing bowls everywhere. There is like, I have like a Shiva statue. I have these African like tribal masks. I mean, it's not like there's anything like, it's not like, oh, well, this is a temple to this God. It's like, I just have spiritual stuff everywhere. Because I don't know, it just gives off, it makes me feel like, it gives off a good vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And then people come into my office and they're like, I love your office. It's so relaxing and it's just so interesting.
I've seen his office. It's awesome.
I've never been in it. You'd think, you know, we're like really close friends. You'd think I'd seen it by now, but I've never been in it. But I've seen photos and it's quite lovely.
It is relaxing. Just like, it's very peaceful.
He has so many things in that office. He told me a story once about how he threw the break. Was it, you threw the breaker?
Oh, yeah. Because I have all kinds of different lights and lamps and salt lamps and et cetera plugged in. And then for Christmas, I got a, it's basically a space heater, but it looks like a fireplace. So it has like a lights that shit looks like fire. So I plugged it in and started it up, and then the whole thing went
boom. Oh, Lord.
I hope you were saving your work.
Yeah, well, I had to unplug a few things and reallocate some stuff, and I'm running out of wall space now to hang things, so I started hanging some stuff in the lobby, so I'm just
decorate the whole building.
Well, my beauty has become my beauty in this space has become so concentrated it needs to expand out a little bit.
You need to share it with everyone who comes in.
Yeah.
They may not come in your office. They may go in somebody else's office.
Yeah.
It needs to be beautiful in there too.
Yeah.
So do you think becoming more spiritual over the years has sparked kind of a creative side or more creativity in you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really an artist. Like, I don't sit down and paint. I mean, I have, but it's like not my thing. But I think one of the biggest things that has come out of all this is, like, most people take everything for granted, I guess, mm-hmm. is a good way to put it. Like, I mean, we all paint, like landscapes, for example. People will paint landscapes, and it's like they'll look at it. It's like, oh, that's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Look at the leaves, blah, 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 this falling or the sunset. But you get to a point where it's like you see every moment as like a painting. So it's like you can see the beauty in everything. Like just, you know, like looking out that window right there. And it's like, well, if that's a painting, you know, how does that make me feel?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
It does make sense. Makes perfect sense.
I mean, it makes you look at things more with more of a creative awareness to see the
more
beauty.
Of an appreciation.
Yes. Yes. This is a better word for it. To, you know, appreciate the beauty and things that might, you know, normally you would just not even think twice about.
Well, most people are just looking at their phone all the time.
So. Yes.
That's very true. That is something that, you know, artists from day one, we have that. We mm-hmm. see everything in mm-hmm. that light. So it's really interesting to hear that, you know, you came from not and finding your way to it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It is. Very interesting.
So, yeah, I think that is absolutely the perfect note to end on. Your spirituality, once you find it, once you find what connects you, what grounds you, mm-hmm. you will, as an artist, create much more just strong work.
Yeah.
And as a non-artist, even though I don't think you're a non-artist, you've created some beautiful things.
I'm a pseudo artist.
And being an artist, doing art, creating art in general is spiritual. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Well, see, I mean, I have the want to be an artist, but my hand does not want to cooperate.
What was it? Your meat hooks? That's what it was. You're like, Aaron, you have delicate artist hands. You can make this for me because I have meat hooks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Wazzy. You've been a pleasure. You're always a pleasure, honey. Thank you so, so much for listening. We preach it. We appreciate each and every listen, every follow, every like. We genuinely love you guys, all of our listeners. So keep your eyeballs peeled for a brand new video featuring this Wazzy guy on our YouTube channel. You know, we like him.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it. And if you haven't subbed to our channel, go do that now. Right now. Namaste, weird.